We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what the calculator says. We're not moved by what the doctor's report says. We're not moved by the calendar. We're only moved by what He says. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we love You so much. Lord, we're hungry tonight. Hungry for You. Hungry to be blessed. Hungry to walk out of here changed. Father, there are so many things people can do on a Saturday, especially, Father, well, really anybody, but especially people, Father, that work during the week and it's their days off and things like that, Father, where they don't have a lot of time during the week to do other things. But Father, they're here, putting You first. Father, putting the Word first, to hear from heaven. Father, You don't look lightly upon those things. And You said if we would hunger and thirst after Your things, Father, that we would be filled and satisfied. Well, Lord, we came here tonight for no other reason than to worship You, to praise You, and to hear from You. So, Father, bless that hunger. Feed that hunger, Father. Satisfy those desires and those cravings. And, Father, I thank You that people will walk out of here changed. And, Father, I know that if I just submit myself to You in this service, they'll be blessed. And I don't have to worry about trying to figure it out myself and coming up with things on my own. Father, we are yielded to You. Father, I thank You that when I open my mouth, I will speak as the oracles of God, and boldness and utterance will flow. And Father, bullseyes will be hitting people's hearts, Father. It'll be opportunities for change for people. It'll be opportunities. What it'll be like is a lifeline, Father, for people to come up higher. People that are drowning, people that are struggling. A lifeline to get out of that. A lifeline to come up to a new place. So Father, we thank You for change tonight. We thank You for help. We thank You for our answers. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, well, I'm not going to do a lot of review because we have it up online, and this is the fifth service of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It will be our fifth and final one for this series, so there's a lot of things you can get online and look at the review for, but we'll just start in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you've heard of Me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And verse 8 says, for when you receive that power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So He says, I got a promise for you. It's a gift for you. It's called being baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And the result of that is power. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've seen a few things. We've seen that it's a separate experience from salvation. It's clear. We've seen that tongues is the only evidence that one is filled. Praise God. And we saw last week what the naysayers say about it. And we dissected that and saw that they just must not know how to read the Bible, because it's clearly in there. But we also saw this, that the gift of speaking in tongues is for everybody. Amen. That personal prayer language. Now, the ministry gift of tongues will not be for everybody. The Bible tells us, do all speak in tongues in the ministry format? The answer is no, just like not all our pastors, not all our apostles, not all our prophets. But can everybody speak in tongues, that private prayer language? Well, Jesus said, they that believe sure can, didn't He? Paul said, I would y'all that y'all spoke in tongues. He said, if the whole church comes together speaking in tongues. So we saw that last week. And we saw that's available to us. And it's important to know that, because many of us come from different places and hear different things. And I don't know where everybody is tonight on this subject, whether you're in the flow or whether you're on the outside looking to get in the flow. But you have to be sold out to the fact that it's for you, that it's Jesus commanding you, that it's something that you can't do without. And that's what all those services before were leading up until tonight. And tonight is an exciting night of this series, because it's a fun one to preach, because it validates this whole reason to speak in tongues. It's the benefit package. Amen. You know, you get a job, and I remember the first job I had with benefits, and man, I thought I'd just hit the lottery, you know. Wow, vacation time, sick days, what in the world is this, you know? Salary, my goodness, and it just blew me away, you know. Paid vacation, who in the world would have thought? And it was a good benefit package, and you want to take advantage of that benefit package, right? That's what it's there for, praise God. Hallelujah, it's there for you to benefit from. Well, tongues has a benefit package, and you know, wherever we're at tonight, this is where this is really, really encompasses everybody here so good tonight, because if you are on the outside, you say, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've never spoken tongues ever in my life. This should give you motivation and reason to not go another minute without it. For those of us that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, listen, speaking in tongues is not a separate facet of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are one. They go together. And see, so when Jesus said people ought to receive this gift, that's why he said they shall speak in tongues, out of their belly should flow rivers of living water. This whole baptism of the Holy Ghost thing, the number one thing it centers around is speaking in other tongues. And so if you've been filled before, you've prayed in tongues before, but you're not living an active lifestyle of praying in tongues, well, I'm talking about daily. Yeah.
Right. Amen. Come on.
Amen. And then this is for you to stir the fire in you, to kick around those coals, get those embers burning bright again, fan those flames, dump some gasoline on that thing, because there's stuff for you that God wants for you. Amen? And then for those of us that are in the flow and we're doing it, doesn't mean you can't come up higher. Amen? There's always room for more. How do I know there's room for more? If the Holy Ghost told my pastor to be praying in tongues more, I don't know any other human being on the face of the earth that prays more in tongues than my pastor, and the Holy Ghost told him, pray more. So if he's telling him to pray more, we can pray more. Amen? Praise God. And not out of a bondage place, not to try to impress him or to get him to love us. He already loves us whether we speak in tongues or not. It changes our lives. So, amen, amen, amen. A lot of people don't know the value of this, so they don't do it. You know, they just leave it at the altar the one time they did it. But we're going to go forward. And I want to start tonight with some familiar things that I always start. I kind of end with this a lot of times, but it seemed good in my heart to start here tonight. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Hallelujah. You know, I am one of those people that if you catch me late at night watching an infomercial, and if it's a really good one, and the guy on there, you know, has examples and all these things that you could spray some stuff on the bottom of a glass boat, go out in the Everglades where the gators are, and you're going to be fine. I mean, sign me up for Flex Seal. I want some Flex Seal. You know, I'm a sucker for billboards, and my goodness, you show me a good burger on TV, and it's like I can't get it out of my head till I go there. That's just how I am, right? And isn't that the goal of these commercials? Isn't that the goal of these campaigns, is to get you? Why do they have billboards? They want you to see it, get it in your brain until you go partake, right? I'm a sucker for those kind of things. And so I just got to get those things shut off at night so I don't see them. Or I'll be buying, you know, I love going through the aisle at Walmart, the As Seen on TV stuff. Oh, man, because you used to think you'd only get that online. Now you can get or order it. Now you can just pick it up at the store. You find these things, man. There's looks like some good stuff out there. Got to try it all. But anyways, I believe with all my heart in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, this is the campaign, the billboard, the absolute epitome of advertising for speaking in tongues that should resonate and sink in with every single believer. The writer of this verse, the Apostle Paul, the one that Jesus knocked on his can in 1 Corinthians and Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, the one that was persecuting the church beyond measure, wreaking havoc, the Bible says, threatenings and slaughter, dragging men and women to prison. God had a specific plan for him. Paul didn't go to Bible school. Jesus personally schooled Paul on all the revelation that he had. Paul didn't learn it from Peter. Paul didn't learn it from the other disciples. Paul said, no man taught me this stuff. Jesus face to face took Paul to class. Praise God. That's awesome. He was used to write 2/3 of the New Testament, the very heart of what we shouldn't spend the majority of our time in the Gospels. And we shouldn't spend the majority of our time in Revelation. We should spend the majority of our time in the Epistles, because the Epistles are the specific books that were written to Christians. Can we get stuff from the Old Testament? Sure. Can we get stuff from the Gospels? Absolutely. Can we get stuff from Revelation? Yes, but not like you can get from Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians and Galatians. Those are written to believers. Amen. And God used him to be the author of the majority of that revelation that we live in now that causes us to be victorious. Use that guy. There'll never be another Christian on the level that God used, like the Apostle Paul was, ever. That's not up for debate, by the way. No one else is going to add to the Bible. And he added the most to our lives than anybody through the revelation he got face to face with the Savior. What am I trying to do? Pump up the guy that wrote this. This successful, victorious, supernatural, miracle-working things that he had in his life and his ministry over and over again, he stood up and said for all of eternity, I thank my God, I'm thankful to you, Father, that I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, who's the you all there? The whole church at Corinth. Paul is saying, the majority of the time I'm spending in life breathing with my eyes open, I am praying in other tongues. We should look at that billboard and say, my goodness, if that guy, it's why do you think they use celebrities for their products? Why do you think Michael Jordan got paid millions upon millions to wear Nikes? Because people say, wow, if he's wearing Nikes and he can do those things, I certainly need a pair of Nikes. If he's drinking Gatorade, then there must be something to Gatorade. Whether there is or not, that's why they use them. Well, we know there's no hidden agendas here. We know there's no false advertising in this one. When God uses him to say this, it's not... We know Nikes didn't help Jordan jump higher. We know that, yeah, Gatorade might have hydrated him, but there's other things that could have hydrated him as well. Amen? When Paul says this, he's not saying it to trick or hoodwink us into going into this doctrine. He's telling the truth and nothing but the truth. And it should stick out to us, if that man can do that and do what he had in his life, and the supernatural in his life, and he's saying that's what he was doing, maybe it ought to clue us into something of what we should be doing all the time. Amen. And then I like to always go to go into the ministers we've had that we study about and learn about. John G. Lake. John G. Lake was an apostle, a healing apostle in the late 1800s, early 1900s in Seattle, Washington. Now, John G. Lake was so filled with God and his power that he went over, I can't remember where it was in Africa, and... I can't remember what it was. Does anyone remember the sickness it was that was going on that was killing everybody back then? I can't remember the exact. I don't think it was Ebola. It was It slipped my mind. But anyways, it was very contagious, and people were dying left and right from it. Probably come to me before the end of service. And he said, put some of it they had under a microscope and looked in the microscope and could see all the live things going on in there, that this was active, you know, could see, I don't know if it was in saliva or what it was. And he said, put it in my hand. And they said, you can't, you don't want to come in contact. He said, put it in my hand. Well, he was led by God to do so, but the point was he was so anointed, when it got in his hand, it killed it all. They put it back under the microscope. That wasn't alive anymore. It died when it hit him. Well, John G. Lake also started those healing schools over in Seattle, Washington, and he had 100,000 confirmed medical healings in his ministry. Not just people saying, I had a headache and it was gone. We believe that. It's great. Not just people saying, hey, I had a broken arm and God healed it. No. We're talking about doctors giving reports, 100,000. And John G. Lake, Seattle, Washington, back in that time, was named the healthiest city in all of America. You can go back and look this up. This is facts. And John G. Lake said this, the making of my ministry, everything I give it credit to has been speaking in other tongues. That's what he said. That's what the man said. Smith Wigglesworth, something like 8 or 9 people confirmed, raised from the dead in his ministry. Dr. Lester Summerall was one of his students, apostle in the early 1900s over in England. Signs, wonders, and miracles. They asked him, he didn't know how to read or write, but when he got the Bible in front of him, he knew how to read and write the Bible. They were amazed. One time he wrote something, he misspelled the word Holy Spirit 9 different ways, misspelled it, when he wrote it out. He didn't know how to read or write, but when he got the Bible in front of him. Now, he had signs, wonders, and miracles. You can go back and read some of the things in his ministry and the power that was in his ministry. One time he talks about waking up and the manifested presence of the devil was in his bedroom. Well, most of us would have been looking for a change of underwear. But yeah. Smith Wigglesworth rolled over in bed, looked, saw the manifested presence of the devil so full of God, he said, "Oh, it's just you," and flipped over and went back to bed. That's talking about a demon, horror film type stuff appearing in your bedroom. "Oh, it's just you," flop over and go back to sleep. Amen. A man of signs, wonders, and miracles. And he said this. He said, "I'm one of the greatest conundrums there are." He said, "All these things happen in my ministry. I can't read or write. I have no formal education." He says, "But when I get behind a pulpit and minister, things happen." He said, "I'm one of the greatest conundrums." He says, "The reason, the number one reason that my ministry is like this, one thing only, speaking in other tongues." Paul, John G. Lake. Paul didn't say, "I thank my God I'm doing such and such more than y'all." It was tongues. John G. Lake, it was tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, it was tongues. Brother Hagin said this, "The greatest deliverances, the greatest miracles, the greatest financial miracles that I've ever had in my life came after a prolonged time of praying in other tongues." Lester Summerall, a mighty man of faith, we could go down the list of his accolades and the things he did for God and the miracle signs and wonders and the people that were set free. And Smith Wigglesworth, being a spiritual daddy and the spiritual lineage he was in, they asked him, they said, "Dr. Summerall, how often are you praying in tongues?" He said, "When I'm not preaching." What's that mean? All the time. In the shower, praying in tongues. Eating his breakfast, praying in tongues. Walking the dog, praying in tongues. Driving to work, praying in tongues. You say, why? Well, that's what we're going to look at tonight. Why? What happens with praying in tongues? That's what we're going to look at, the benefits. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, her and Doctor were the dream team. For over 20 years, her and Dr. Dufresne tore up the devil's kingdom, and now she's tearing up the devil's kingdom on her own in her own ministry. And Dr. Dufresne had a mighty ministry in the apostle and the prophet's ministry long before she came along, and they had a 20-year age difference. And Pastor Nancy was in an abusive relationship and set to be married to someone and had a terrible breakup. And it was awful. And her life was at rock bottom. She didn't know anything about anything. Didn't know Dr. Dufresne, just lost in life. You know, we see her as, here she was, Miss Oklahoma and in the Miss America pageant, so well spoken of and just seems like she's just fire and boldness all the time. There was a time she was desperate at the lowest of the lows. She took 3 weeks and prayed for at least 3 hours a day in other tongues, and within a few months' time met Dr. Dufresne, and her spiritual life got sped up from zoop to there, and now she's got a ministry that's feeding my life on a daily basis, and so many of you are receiving from her. And she said praying in tongues did that. And then, of course, we have me. But what do I always tell you? And it's the truth. The second greatest thing that ever happened to me after being born again was getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Everything changed from that point on. Yeah. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how does all this happen? Well, let's find out in the Bible what the Word says about it. Are you ready? Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. Let's look at the benefits of speaking in other tongues. Why do you want this crazy language? We had 3 people receive the baptism last week in church and service in South Dayton, and I came into the fellowship hall, and one of the ladies was sitting there that had received it, and I said, "Oh, I don't know if you guys want to sit with her now. She's one of those crazy tongue talkers. She's in now. What are you going to do? No looking back now." Praise God. I'm glad I'm a crazy tongue talker. All right, number one, benefit of speaking in tongues. You write this down if you're taking notes. Supernatural means by how we communicate with God. 1 Corinthians 14:2. "He that speaketh in an unknown," everybody say unknown, unknown tongue means not, it's not French, it's not English, it's not Spanish, it's not German. "For he that speaks in unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man can understand him. You know, I might not be able to understand German, but some man can. That's why it's not German. It's not any natural language. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You see that there? He speaks mysteries. So, supernatural means by which we can speak to God. Now, I truly believe this with all my heart. It's one of the reasons the devil fights this so hard. I don't know of another subject in the body of Christ that's more hotly contested and debated than this speaking in tongues. Healing's up there. Prosperity certainly is up there. But you talk about denominations are just down on this. I mean, just either downright against it. It's of the devil. It's your Looney Tunes. It's passed away. It's not for anymore. And I believe one of the reasons is because when we speak in tongues, you know, our spirit, the real us, is praying things to Him. Just because our mind isn't engaged doesn't mean things aren't happening. Actually, better things are happening. Our spirits can go much further and deeper than our minds can. But if the devil doesn't know what we're praying about, the devil can't interfere the way he wants to. When you go to the Father about a financial test and trial, and you pray that, how many of you know that men can hear that, but so can Satan. And for time's sake, I don't want to turn there, but if you have time sometime, go to Daniel chapter 10. And you'll see where the enemy, they call him the Prince of Persia, but in the spiritual terminology, it's the devil. Daniel prayed. And the angels were going out to get these prayers taken care of. They ministered to us. And the Bible says that the Prince of Persia withstood him 21 days. Heard Daniel's prayer, the devil, Prince of Persia, here's what's going to be prayed. Angels are going out. So they send, the devil sends his adversaries to keep that from coming to pass. Why? He heard, he's in the know. Heavenly Father, I need to believe in you for money. Okay, well let's break something else down in their life. Let's cause trouble. Let's influence their boss to cut back their pay or something. But when you pray in tongues, the devil's on the outside looking in. He has no idea. And we'll see later on that you say, yeah, but I don't even know what I'm praying in tongues. That's the beauty of it. When you pray in tongues, the perfect will of God, it's praying it for you. You'll see that at the end. So the devil can't stand it, and so I believe he tricks people and deceives people to believe things that are not in the Bible, to believe their traditions, their feelings more, because he doesn't want to be kept out of this secret language. Have you ever heard of the movie Code Talkers? There was a movie called Code Talkers, but it was based on a true story from World War II. I believe this was also happening in World War I, but I'm more familiar with the World War II version, where they recruited people from the Navajo Indian tribe that spoke the Navajo language. And what they would do is they would have, okay, the American base or wherever at one place have a Navajo recruit that they recruited and trained up. In another base somewhere else, you know, that you have to communicate over the airwaves, whatever, however system they're doing it back then. And what the Germans would do would try to get on over the airwaves to figure out, okay, they say we're going to do this and that. How many of you know, when you know what the enemy's going to do, or when you know something, you can put opposition in the way. She said, we'll fix their wagon. We'll get the Navajos to come speak Navajo, and the Germans don't have anyone that can speak Navajo. So they would start communicating their plans and where they're going and their different coordinates over the airways, but in Navajo, and they're hearing this and saying, we don't know what in the world to do, and it gave them an upper hand, and they made a whole movie about it. Yeah. We're code talkers. Yeah. And our enemy doesn't know what we're saying. Yeah. And Paul knows the enemy's after me a lot, so I'm going to do a lot what he doesn't know, what he can't hear. He didn't say, I think, my God, I pray in the natural more than you all. Is it wrong to pray in the natural? No. But you should be given way more emphasis praying in tongues. Absolutely. Why? You're a spirit. Paul said, the thing I'm doing most is praying in tongues. Why? It's keeping the enemy on the outside looking in. What a blessing. Praise God. That in itself is worth it. Devil's on the outside looking in. It's just fun to make him mad. I like to think of him when I'm praying in tongues, sitting there, grumpy. Maybe sucking his thumb. I just picture this stuff. It helps me to just pray, and then I just kind of look over and smirk, you know. Just my head. But I like the picture of the devil just sitting there, just so mad, stomping his feet, you know, just crying like the little baby he is. Keep him on the outside. Can you imagine those Germans? What in the world are they saying? Ostenstalin. I mean, they're just frustrated and bad. You know, we thought we had them. What is this? That's the devil saying. He don't want you filled. He don't want you praying in it. Amen. Second one's found in this verse here. If you're a note taker, it's a way to pray out mysteries. For he that speaks in unknown tongues speaks not to men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, let me just say this about praying out, or because when it says speaking in tongues, you can interchange speaking and praying. It's the same thing. When you're speaking in tongues, you're not just speaking, you're actually praying from your spirit. Your mouth is doing the speaking, but your heart's, it's coming from your spirit. You're praying. It's a prayer language. We know in the Word, we've seen this in the Bible, that things to come to pass don't automatically come to pass without prayer. It takes prayer to get things done on the earth. Think about it this way. God prophesied to Elijah that it's not going to rain. Right? And he told him when it was going to rain. But then we see Elijah, what's he doing before the rain? Praying for the rain. Even though God said it's going to rain, it still took prayer to get God's will to come to pass. The best case thing that I can, the thing that can make you see this the most is, because if you don't get this for your own life, you won't see the importance. In Matthew 9, it says, in verse 35, it says, Jesus saw the people, the cities, the villages, they were scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. It says we need a shepherd, but then he says in the next verse, pray ye therefore that the Lord would send laborers into his harvest fields. Well, the number one desire of the Father is that nobody would go to hell. We can see it's the number one desire in the gift that he gave us, which was Jesus, which the number one thing Jesus did was come to set us free from eternal damnation. We were in the grips of the devil till Jesus set us free. God proved on the cross, I want none of you going to hell. Well, the only way, you didn't get saved on your own. What do I mean by that? You didn't wake up one morning ignorant and all of a sudden know Jesus died and this is how I get saved. Somebody told you. Might have been Billy Graham. Might have been a TV minister. It might have been me. Might have been a family member. It might have been a grandma. Might have been a friend. But it came through a person. Well, when you look at the in Romans, the Roman road in Romans chapter 10, when you look at the progression of someone getting saved, the Bible says, how can someone get saved unless they hear? And how can somebody hear unless somebody says something? And how can somebody say something if somebody doesn't go to say it? So when the Lord says, pray for laborers into the harvest, what's he saying? Just like it took a laborer to bring you into the kingdom, didn't it? Took a laborer to bring me into the kingdom. So the harvest he's talking about are the unsaved people. Well, we know by God's will, if it's going to take people to get unsaved people saved, I need to get people out there. But he tells us the only way to get people out there is to pray for them. He can't automatically send them. Why? He has no authority on the earth. The Christian does. The devil has all the authority on the earth. But when we, in our authority in Jesus, who overcame the enemy, and we use his name, we say, in the name of Jesus, laborers go forth, God can send them forth. But my point is this. His will is laborers to go forth. But if people don't pray for that to happen, it'll never happen. Think about in Acts chapter 12, when James and Peter were taken by Herod. God didn't want James to die, but James died. They tried to take Peter and do the same thing to him. But why did Peter live? One reason. The Bible said the church prayed. Well, God's will the whole time was to deliver James and Peter. But God couldn't get his delivering power until somebody prayed. Amen. Okay, So why am I telling you this? There are things in your life up ahead that are God's will for you. It's called His plan. His purposes for you. Right? It's interesting you see Daniel. Think about Daniel when he has to interpret the king's dream. Or he's going to get his head lopped off. Remember, the king has a disturbing dream? Wants to know what it is? They say, King, tell us the dream. So I'm not telling you what the dream is. If I tell you what the dream is, you're going to tell me something to tickle my ears. Why don't you find out what the dream is? Well, Daniel's like, I don't know what the dream is, but God can tell me what the dream is. Well, God didn't want Daniel's head lopped off. But God didn't tell Daniel the dream until Daniel prayed for the dream. Then God released the dream. You see, the prophecies about Israel and Jerusalem that Daniel had to pray out that were being delayed until someone prayed them out. Then God's will came to pass. Well, God has a will for your life. God has plans and purposes, intersections, crossroads, divine connections, things for you to walk into that are up ahead. That take prayer to walk into those things. Just like it takes prayer for these other things. Real quick, go to me, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Hallelujah. How much do people miss out on because they never took time to pray out the mysteries? Because it says when you pray in tongues, you're praying out mysteries. Because if you're thinking, you're hoodwinked, the devil has you hoodwinked, if you're thinking, whatever God wants for me will just come to pass in my life, that's garbage. It's not how it works. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. No, that ain't true. God wants the whole world to be saved, but yet people are walking into hell every single day. And it's unnecessary. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me. Well, that's that. That's prayer. And then I'll answer you. Draw nigh unto me, he says, and then I'll draw nigh unto you. Ask you, then I'll receive, right? Seek, then you'll find. Knock, and then I'll open the door for you. You have not because you ask not. It always starts with us. Call unto me. You call unto me, then. Remember he said, I'm a rewarder of them that casually seek me. No. I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Call unto me, he says, and then I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to show you some things. Great and mighty things which you knowest not. What are knowest not? Mysteries. Things you don't know. He says there's things, because think about it. What advantage is there to praying out mysteries in advance? It's every advantage. Can we pull that verse up in the Amplified? Hallelujah. I already know I'm already stirred to pray more. Just from this, what I've heard myself preach. Faith comes by hearing. I'm already stirred to pray more. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden. Which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. Woo-wee. What are some mysteries, things you, that questions you have answers, need answers to? Decisions, things in the future. I'll give you some examples. So, and the benefits of this. I was, Pastor Michael had started the Jamestown Church in 2002 to 2003, right around 2003, in the Holiday Inn. Jen, you were part of the beginning, weren't you, at the Jamestown Church? Yeah, I was just going off to Bible school. And he's pastoring for a while, and he gets to where we buy the property on Garfield Road, which is now the Youth Center, the small church out in front. And I was fresh out of Bible school thinking I was going to preach fire, and he said, no, go stand in the parking lot for a few years. It was good for me. It humbled me. Amen? The way to the top is down. I remember Pastor Webb said that people think they're going to be helicoptered to the top of the mountain. That's not how it works. You start at the bottom. Amen? Praise God. So I had to humble myself. And the parking lot with the orange vest will humble you real fast. The weather will humble you. The way people treat you will humble you. You know, just your own pride will humble you. But I needed it. And I'm out there, and I'm... And I had gotten myself to the place where I was like, I'll do anything for this church. I don't care what it is. Because I knew I was called to preach, but I got to the place where I told the Lord, I will walk into heaven as the best parking lot attendant you have ever had in one of your churches. And I meant it. And I said, I'm not using this as a stepping stone. I don't care if I'm here for 10 years. I'll do it every day, every service faithfully. Well, that's how you get promoted, by the way, just so you know, and having that heart. And I meant it. But I said to Lord, when I was out there, you know, I said, I know there's things up ahead for me. And the Word says, if I pray in tongues, I'll pray out mysteries. So I just took them at His Word and just prayed in tongues under my breath. When people come, you know, I'd stop and greet them and love on them and not be a weirdo. And just prayed in tongues, prayed in tongues, prayed in tongues, prayed in tongues. Knew I was called to the ministry. Didn't know what. Just knew there was something there. And I heard clear as day that day, that one sunny Sunday morning, dropped in my spirit, you're going to pastor someday. I knew it. It was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom about the future. I knew. And it blew me away because I had so much honor and respect for my pastor. I thought, I don't know, Lord, what are you smoking? Lord, what's going on up there? I'm serious. How in the world are you thinking, you know? But I knew. I knew that I knew. Well, I didn't know when, where, what was going to look like. And then we get called to a meeting and out towards Brockton where my pastor's living. An impromptu meeting, knew nothing about it. A bunch of us went up there that were mentoring with him and training for ministry and stuff, you know. And I hadn't told anybody what I heard in the parking lot. And all of a sudden, he tells us that Pastor Tim Stallman, my best friend, the guy that we used to thump on each other, is going to be my pastor. I'm giving the church to him. It's God's plan. I had no idea. Well, threw me for a loop, you know, but there's another place where I got a chance to humble myself. Because I became the associate pastor of that church, and I used to make my best friend coffee. I used to go get his lunch. He didn't tell me to do it. I did it because I was going to be honorable to him. I'd shovel his walkway in the winter. We're talking about a best friend. Was my pastor, my boss, and I honored him. Amen. And I did things for him in that church. I got things together to work for things, to pay things off for the congregation. I went the extra length because the Lord told me, what you do for one man, I'll do for you. Praise God. Amen. You be faithful with another man's, I'll give you your own. And I wasn't trying to get my own. I just wanted to be, found faithful. But it was difficult because there's decisions he'd make that, before I'd probably swear at him and call him an idiot or something, you know, back before our days of Jesus, you know. Just that's the dumbest thing ever. Now it's, you just honor that and carry that out and do be honorable. And I did, and I was honorable. Praise God. But now, he's told he's going to pass the church. Now, I didn't assume I was going to be the Jamestown pastor. I was just told I was going to pastor. But I didn't want to tell anybody then because I was thinking, man, if I could tell my pastor now, I'm going to try to be trying to steal his thunder. Because that was a big thing for Pastor Tim and his wife. And it was a big change, you know, and a lot of the spotlight went on them, as it should. You know, it's a new thing for them. And I thought, I'm not saying a word, but praying out that mystery. Had I not prayed that out and known that, I'd have doubted myself. Amen. But I knew that I knew that I knew. And in the midst of all that, and then my pastor came over for dinner one night. I remember, you know, he came over. And, we went out to eat. We're going to come home to eat dessert. And at Ruby Tuesdays, he says, so what are you called to, Mike? And I said, I don't know. You know, I knew what God had told me, but I was embarrassed to say it in front of him. I said, I don't know. I'd probably just go be an evangelist, you know, just making things up. It's usually a good thing to do to your pastor. You'll lie to him face to face, pretty much, is what I was doing. We get home on the couch, and he slaps me on the leg. He says, so what's God calling you? I said, Pastor Michael, I just told you at Ruby Tuesdays. I want to be an evangelist. And he got fire in his eyes. And he said, I asked you. What has God been dealing with you about? I thought, oh, Lord, I'm going to drop dead like Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Ghost, so they dropped dead. I said, this is it. God's not going to let me lie again. I'm going to be dead. So I said, Pastor, I said, slap me. I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I feel stupid even saying this to you. I said, but God told me in the parking lot before you announced Pastor Tim, and I've been afraid to say anything, that I was going to pastor. And he pointed at me and said, you've heard from God. I thought, glory to God. But that was a mystery. In August of 2009, I was picking up cherry brush at Walker's Farms. And I spent all day on my MP3 player with worship music in my ears, just praying in other tongues. Knew there were things up ahead for me. And the Holy Ghost stopped me in the late August, and he said, next September in 2010, you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. I said, where's that? That's what I said. I had no idea. I had no idea. Let me tell you the benefit of praying that mystery out. I started to get my faith on a building in that area. I started to get my faith on people coming to help me in that area. It is such an advantage to know the future. To pray these things out, praise God. These mysteries, He said, I'll show you, I'll reveal these things to you. Glory to God. What are the things that you don't know that you're trying to figure out yourself? My pastor says this, he's 2 years ahead of his life by praying. He said, God shows him stuff 2 years out of advance. Can you imagine living like that? Not being shocked? Now, he doesn't know everything, and he's readily one that admits that. But praying out mysteries, praise God. Go into story and story, but we've got to get moving here. Number one, supernatural way to speak to God, code talkers. Number two, it's a way to pray out mysteries. Number three, a way to build yourself up. You know who's always built up? The devil. He's always excellent at stealing, killing, and destroying. He's always good at opposition. He never lacks in torment, in fear. He's always sharp and on his game spiritually. Amen. And you can't go against, naturally, an enemy like that. You'll lose every time. Because the Bible says to be strong in yourself and in the power of your might. No. The Bible says for you to succeed, you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What's that mean? Spiritually, His ways. The devil will eat your lunch. That's what he's doing to people. Well, didn't he say in Acts chapter 1, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you? I remember watching a college football game a few years ago, and the coach at the end, it was before the game, evenly matched. You know, it was pretty much one of those pick'em games. Four-star, five-star recruits on both teams, just wonderful. Both programs, wonderful. Storied histories. And the one team came out and absolutely just clobbered the other team. I mean, it was just shocked everybody. And the coach in the interview at the end that lost said, and he was just being humble. He gave the other team credit. He wasn't just trying to cover things up. He was being sincere and honest, very transparent, which I thought was amazing. He said, we knew everything they were going to do to us. They didn't do anything that surprised us. We know everything the devil's going to do to us. Yeah. There's no surprises with him. Right. He doesn't have any new tricks. He's been doing the same thing for thousands of years. Right. Yeah. He's not any different. So we knew exactly what they were going to do. We were prepared. We had the playbook all week. We knew our playbook. We got a playbook. Yeah. We're prepared. We get the pep talk and the coaching every single week, twice a week sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes three times a week. Sometimes four times a week if you go to both. Yeah. We're prepared. It's the truth. He said, the only thing that beat us is that they were more built up than we were. He said, it started in the weight room back in springtime. He said, they manhandled us. They were stronger than us, more built up than us. Well, Christians, we have all the knowledge we could ever need. We know all the tricks of the enemy. But you can know what the enemy's going to do, and you can have the playbook, but if you're not built up, he will manhandle you. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, praise God. This is the reason some of you can't kick the habits that you beat yourself up over and over and over again. The overeating, smoking, the bad language, whatever. Throw in these things that you don't want to do. That God will forgive you for, but you don't like doing them. It's because you're weak in your flesh. And you're trying to fight a battle being weak and things like that. We know the answer. We just got to do it. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Praise God. He that speaks in an unknown tongue or prays in an unknown tongue, look at this, edifieth himself. What's to edify mean? To build up. To charge up. Amen. It says here that praying in tongues charges you up. You know what that's likened to? If it says you get charged up, that must mean you need built up and to be charged up, which means he that speaks, that denotes an ongoing thing. He that does this means it's not a one-time tank up. It's not a one-time fill up. You know, I didn't bring my cell phone out here, but my cell phone back there, there's lots I can do with that thing. It's a blessing to me, right? Your cell phone's a blessing to you. But guess what? If I don't take time to plug it in and take charge up time, it's going to be dead and of no use to me. Amen. A Christian needs to be built up. It's not talking about naturally built up in the weight room. We don't fight the devil with flesh and blood. Building our spirit man. Why does our love walk stink? Because when it's tested, we're not built up spiritually and we fly off the handle. And we road rage and we run off at the mouth and we have to repent for it. Or we walk in unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. Why? We're not built up. Our love walk stinks. It's the truth. Yeah. Why do we get where the littlest things can set us off and get us offended and emotional? It's because we're not built up spiritually. And our natural man's overtaken us. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. And if you haven't been there, you better come up here and repent for lying right now. Get out of... That spot's right for you. I dare to say we've probably been there sometimes at some point this week. A sharp word, you know, carnality reigning supreme, laziness getting the best of us, right? Not built up. We didn't take the time. Praying in tongues. I remember one young girl, she used to tell me, she's like, man, before I go to my family's house, I'm praying in tongues 2 hours before I go. I was like, man, you really must need to really be built up to do that. My goodness, I don't need that much. I can give me 30 minutes, I'm good for get me through it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's the truth, built up. Now, real quick, Jude 20. Jude is the last book before the book of Revelation. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, so it's Jude 1:20, right before the book of Revelation. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Everybody say, building up myself. Build up. It's your own job. It's not your job to plug my cell phone in. It's not Courtney's job to make sure Mike's cell phone's plugged in at nighttime. It's not my pastor's job to call me at night and say, hey, did you make sure you plugged that cell phone in? That's foolishness. It's not my job to make sure you're built up. It's not your spouse's job to make sure you're built up. Amen. It's your own job. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in tongues, this is the things that are happening. You're praying mysteries out. You're speaking foreign mysteries you don't know that the devil can't hear. You're building yourself up. I always say this to people, and it works every time. That job you can't stand going to, but God hasn't released you from, I dare you to pray in tongues before you go to it. And watch the difference of things will go off your like water off a duck's back. It's the truth. If the Apostle Paul, you do know this, right? Maybe you don't. I'll fill you in if you don't. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know where he wrote that from? Prison. If Paul and Silas, naked, thrown in the center prison, their feet and hands fast in stocks, beaten to a bloody pulp at midnight, can lift their voice and praise and worship is coming out of them. I can connect the dots. I pray in tongues all the time, Paul says. And then when hell on earth happens, God comes out of me. Because I'm built up. Faith comes out of me. Yeah, when people start complaining, and I'm including myself, and start griping and moaning and groaning and this and that, oh, I can locate you real fast. You've not had much fill-up time. It's true for me too. Start complaining about things and circumstances and the natural, and that's just all that is carnality on full display. That's a carnal show. Welcome to the carnal bucket show, everybody. That's what it is. We've all been there. We don't have to live that way. God's given us a way to build ourselves up. Praise God. Last but not least, number 4. Real quick, go to Romans 8:13. I want to just point this out before we go to number 4 for that whole flesh thing, because people struggle in some things. You know God doesn't hate you if you smoke. You know God doesn't hate you if you struggle with lust. You know God doesn't hate you if you have an eating problem. He loves you and wants you to get help for those things. See, those things are hurting you. They're not changing His love for you. He loves you. Now, walking in those things aren't going to benefit you and aren't going to help you. But getting rid of them sure will. Romans 8 and verse 13, look at this. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. That's what he's saying. I just got to tell you, if you do carnal things, it's going to lead to bad things. Does God hate you if you smoke? No, but if you smoke, it won't lead to anything good. Does God hate you and mad at you if you overeat? No, but if you do, it's not going to lead to anything good. Does God hate you if you have a pornography addiction and you have a lust problem and you're walking in that? No, He doesn't hate you, but it's not going to help your life if you do. If you live after the flesh, you through the flesh will die. But if you through the Spirit, notice this, not through willpower. Not through willpower. Not through if I just try hard enough. No, if you through the Spirit mortify, kill, destroy those things of the body, you shall live. How do we mortify those things in the body? That lust problem, that overeating problem, that smoking problem, that drinking problem, through the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Build yourself up. Things will start falling off like crazy. I'm living proof. I sometimes go walking right through the alcohol aisle, although that is also where the paper towels are at Wegmans, so if you see me there, that's why. But I'll on purpose, even when I don't need paper towels, go walking through the alcohol aisle just to look at it, because it used to have control on me, has nothing on me now. I'll drive by the casino on the way home tonight, and I'll look at it and just laugh. And now they've added sports gambling to the mix. Oh my Lord, years ago, bye-bye Mike's money, and it had nothing on me. Nothing on me. How did I mortify those deeds of the body? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Praise God. Last but not least, like I said, number four. Number one, supernatural means talk to God. Two, pray out mysteries. Three, build yourself up. Number four, it's a way you pray out God's perfect will for your life. This goes along with number two, mysteries. But now it's going to kind of show you how those mysteries are being prayed out and what's going on. Because remember what we established. That just because God wants to do something in your life and wants to do something on the earth doesn't mean it comes to pass. Prayer causes things to come to pass. Amen? Amen. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Praise God. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. You look up that word infirmities, it's not talking about a natural sickness, it's talking about weaknesses. Wait, we have weaknesses? We do. What is a weakness? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. It's not saying we don't know how to pray. It's saying there's times we don't know what we should pray as we ought to pray. Now hold your place here. Think, wait, there's a way we ought to pray? Yeah, if you want success. Don't you want success in your prayer life? Hold your place in Romans 8 and go to 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Here it is. And this is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask anything, what's asking anything? Prayer. If we ask anything, now notice this, according to His will. Look at the response of what happens when we ask according to His will. Something happens on His end. We ask according to His will, what happens to Him? He hears it. Okay? So the Bible says if we ask what His will is, we got His attention. Now what's the big deal about having His attention in verse 15? I'm hanging. Right on the edge here. And if we know He hears us. Now remember, I'm not saying if we know He hears us. Now, the verse before told us, how do we know we can get Him to hear us? If we ask according to His will. We know He hears us. And whatever we ask, we know we have the petition desired of Him. What's that telling you? How to have a 100% success rate in your prayer life. How? Ask Him according to His will and He hears us. Now think about this now. Go back to Romans 8, 26. Now it tells us we have a weakness in prayer. There's times we know how to pray, but we don't know what to pray for. Well, what's the what? What's His will? If God wakes... I love the stories of the missionaries that Christians will get woken up in the middle of the night with someone on their heart in a different country. And God didn't tell them they need money, they need protection, they need health, they need something for their children. God just woke them up because God needs somebody to pray. Because if God doesn't get people to pray, God can't move His plan on the earth. And I remember the story Brother Hagin talking about the missionary that was overseas, and the congregation member that got woken up to pray, didn't know what to pray. That's a weakness. Why? Because God only hears His will. That's why it's important to pray His will. He said, I only turn my ear towards you if you're praying my will. You pray these prayers on your own, you're just hitting the ceiling and coming right back down. Brother Hagin used to say, you might as well just sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Stars and twiddle your thumbs. You'll get more, just as much success in your prayer life when you pray outside of God's will. Why? Because He said, I hear you when you ask my will. Well, if He gives you a face or a situation or someone you love is going through something and you don't know what to pray for. See, we can't pray these... I'm just saying it. These stupid, religious, unsuccessful, powerless prayers that appease our minds. We need to be skillful in our prayer life. What's skillfulness? Pray in His will, because when we pray His will, we have it. And Brother Hagin said, when you pray outside of His will, you might as well twiddle your thumbs and sing, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are. And you'll have just as much success in getting that prayer answered. Because the Bible told us how to have success in our prayer life. Ask according to His will. But what do we do when there's times we don't know His will? Because people are going through stuff and struggling, and God wants to help them. But what does the person do that doesn't know His will and God doesn't reveal it? And you can't get a hold of them. It's like the guy one time told me he was on his tractor. He said, Pastor Mike, you came on my heart so strong. And he called me. And it was later in the day. And he said, the Lord was telling me to pray. I said, what'd you do? Well, I called you and left you a bunch of messages on your cell phone and tried to get a hold of you. Why'd you do that? Because I needed to know what to pray about. Do you need money, Pastor Mike? Is it healing you need? Your kid's going through something? What's going on? I said, brother, I don't know. You're scaring me, though. I said, as far as I know, everything's good. But I don't know everything. And God does know everything. And God might need somebody to pray for my life. That's why I always tell people, when Pastor Mike up and cancels a service and it's not weather related, don't sit there and try to figure it out. Just pray. Yeah. It might be personal. It might be because someone else is going through something that I got to attend to. Just pray if it's on your heart to do so. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, a lot of people are nosy, but some people just genuinely want to know. But there's times I sincerely had no idea, but He knew. God put me on His heart. I had no idea. Everything seemed great until He called me. I was nervous. I said, I don't know, brother. Oh, what about that missionary? I can't get a hold of them. They don't have phones where they're at. It's the middle of the night. And God's got a burden for me to pray right now. That's a weakness. Why is it a weakness? Okay, pray for their money. They don't need money. And bam, they're killed. Pray for their protection. They don't need protection. They need a divine healing to come in or something. It's a weakness. But thank God, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. And it's important that we know what we ought to pray for, because that's the only way we get them answered. But the Spirit, it should say Himself, the Spirit's not in it, makes intercession, everybody say, for us. For us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. This is what happens. Missionary wakes up, somebody wakes up in the middle of the night, missionary's on their heart, can't get home, have no idea. Lord's just saying, pray for them, it's on their heart to pray for them. No idea what, that's a weakness. Oh, but we have something in our weaknesses. We have the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I have no idea what in the world they need. But Father, You said that You'd make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And then look what it says in verse 27 to finish it out. And He that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because He, the Spirit of God, makes intercession for the saints. Now look at this. According to the will of God. According to the will of God. If that doesn't ring a bell, let me ring it for you. 1 John 5 verse 14 says, if we ask according to His will, He hears us. If He hears us, then we know it's answered. And it tells us here, when we have a weakness and somebody needs something, but we don't know exactly what they need, the Holy Ghost does. And if we'll take off praying in tongues, for example, wake up in the middle of the night, missionary overseas, no idea, Holy Ghost, I don't know, but I know I need to know because it's a weakness, and God's only going to respond to His will, but You said in the Word that You'll make intercession for me with groanings which cannot be understood. If I pray in tongues, I'll pray it out. You'll give me the words that are the exact will of God. They're going to come out of my mouth. Just like when you say, Father, send laborers into the harvest field. What are you doing? Praying His will. What's He do? He hears that and then answers. Amen. When you pray, when the Bible says, I'll meet all your needs, and you need a job, and you say, Father, I declare and claim that need. That's the will of God. Guess what? It happens. But those are things you know. What about all the things you don't know about your life? Your family members. God wakes you up to pray for your pastor, pray for a congregation member, something going on in your life. Mysteries, things up ahead. The plan of God for your life. Pray in tongues. Bullseye every time. I always call the Holy Ghost the spiritual sniper. He just boom, boom, boom. Will of God, nails it, bullseye, bullseye. Takes my mind out of the equation. Takes my flesh out of the equation. I can take off praying in tongues knowing I'm hitting the mark. I pray things over these churches. But you know what I pray over these churches? I pray Scripture over these churches. Why? It's the will of God. And I know I have it. But when I can't go any further and I do as much as I can in my mind, I'll lift up the Allegheny Church and say, now Holy Ghost, help me to pray for them. I'll take your personal lives and say, Holy Ghost, I don't know everything they need. I know they need some things. Help me to pray for so and so. And I know that when I do, I'm hitting the bullseye. Yeah. And things are happening. Amen. What a stinking privilege. Praise God. I'll tell you what, man. If this don't make you want to pray in tongues, probably nothing's gonna. Hallelujah. Now, before we close, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to offer it for people to come forward tonight. There's no fear in this. This is where the anointing is. Three people came up last week, and more are going to come up tomorrow and get it in South Dayton. How many of you have been in a service of mine, raise your hands, that you came forward to receive the Holy Ghost in the service of mine in this church? One back there, one there, one there. One. Okay. So people have, they've been in this, just within our churches. And there's no pressure. But if people come forward, I'll coach you in this. And the rest of the congregation, we're going to pray in tongues with you, so you're not alone in this. We're all rooting for everybody to get this. Praise God. And so, go to Luke 11:13 real quick. Luke 11:13. We'll just pull that up. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? It's as far as it's far away from you as just asking Him. Well, how do we receive any gift in the Bible? By faith. I'll lead you in a prayer, you know. You say, Father, I ask You for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We'll say some things, you know. You'll confess some things, confess your faith. And then we're going to believe God. And I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'm going to ask the Father to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And He's going to do what He said He would in Luke 11:13. And then it's your job to do your part. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in tongues. Say, well, I have to come up with the words. I have to think the words. No, this is how it works. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will give your spirit the words. And they'll be in there. But it's your job to speak those utterances out. God does not grab your tongue or your voice box and make you talk. Amen. That's where the faith comes in. But if you'll just start speaking, say, what do you mean just start speaking? Stop thinking about it. It's supposed to come from here and come up out of your mouth. It's never supposed to get to your brain. You just have faith. I've been telling you, have faith. When Pastor Mike lays hands on me, I will receive the Holy Ghost and I will open my mouth and I will speak with new tongues. How's that going to happen? It's just going to happen. So let's just worship Him right now. Let's just close our eyes and worship Him. If there's anybody that wants to receive this to be filled with the very first time, come on up. Don't miss this, praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to just worship God. Sometimes it takes a second for someone to build up the faith. It took a little bit last week for someone to come out of their seats. But just if you want to receive this, don't miss it. This is why we preach this, for everybody to get it. Praise God. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Ghost. If there's anybody that wants to receive it, we'll wait for you. Hallelujah. Your flesh is telling you no, your mind's telling you no, and the devil's telling you no, but your spirit's saying, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Obey your heart. Obey your heart. Don't listen to the devil your whole life. Don't listen to your flesh the whole life. Get on that roller coaster like I did that day. Just jump right on, praise God. Glory to God. Father, we worship you tonight. Praise your holy name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your love. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that's going to come forward? If not, it's okay. I'll say something here at the end. Anybody at all that wants to receive this? All right, everybody take a look at me real quick. I will say this, and I'll be bold about it. You don't have to receive it in church. I didn't receive it in church. Several people didn't receive it in church. I received it in my apartment in Water Street in Fredonia when I was going to school there. But I will say this about everybody, and I will be bold about this. Jesus commanded you to not leave without this. Maybe not tonight, here tonight. Let me go home and get it. If you leave this, so many people leave this in church, and the Holy Ghost will have me preach it 6 months, a year down the road, year and a half down the road, and they're in the same position, and a whole year of all these benefits went by of being in disobedience to God, because Jesus said, I command you to do it, and missing out on all the blessings. So I do encourage you. Maybe you didn't come up and receive it. That's okay. You can get a hold of me in private and let me know, or we can go into the office, and I can minister this to you one-on-one. And if you're a lady, we'll have someone else there with us. So just not me and you in the office together, so there's safety there. You don't have to worry about that. And we'll minister this to you. Or you go home and do like Pastor Mike did. I got on my knees and I said, Father, I see it in the Word. It's in there. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Ghost right now. And then I did what the Bible said. I opened my mouth and tongues flew out. Praise God. Amen? So that's available to you. But don't leave this here. This is for you to receive. Great things. Your family needs it. You need this. Praise God. Father, we just thank you so much. You're so merciful. You're so kind to us. And Lord, I just thank you that this gift is so wonderful, but Jesus is the greatest. I mean, the salvation is so much in the number one spot. It's not even funny, and we're just so grateful for that. Now, I know everybody in here is born again, but if by chance somebody's listening right now or listening in the future when this service posts online, I pray they wouldn't pass from this life till they make Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, it's so simple. You've made it easy. Just call on your name. Just simply declare their belief in you, that you died, rose again. Ask them to come in your life, and you are more than willing to do your part and make them your child and bless them and help them. And it's just simple. Just cry out to him. And if you do that, send me an email, give me a phone call. We'll get you set up to where you need to go next and what God has for you after that step. But so many good things he has for us. He's just setting us up for success. We need this power. And I encourage those of you here tonight that you've been filled, let this stir you up, retank, recharge. It wasn't a one-time power input. It was meant to be a lifestyle of power. And some of us have been living dry, dry lives. When we should be flowing in the river, you know, when you get in a good river, you don't even have to paddle that much. Just the flow takes you. But some of us have been in a dry riverbed, just paddling and paddling that dirt and that dust and not going anywhere. It's been hard. It's been difficult. This is meant for you to be blessed. I encourage you, jump in the river. Spend time with him. When you're laying there at night and you can't sleep, pray in tongues. Make your drive times of praying in tongues. Make the times you're cooking your meals praying in tongues. Make the times you're getting ready for work, getting ready for the day, time just spent praying in tongues. Turn off a television show and set a timer for 30 minutes that normally you'd be watching a show and someone's just going to pray in tongues, get in the river. It's isn't about a feeling. Doesn't matter if you feel it or don't feel it. The results are the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just stand to our feet and worship him for this wonderful gift that we've received. And let's tell him tonight, let's make a pact with him that we're gonna take advantage of this. He didn't give it to us for us not to use it. Praise God. And yes, Father, I will step it up. I'll step it up, Father. I will. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Lives are going to be different from this series, from this service. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Don't forget cookies downstairs. And don't forget Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, you're dismissed.
is. Come on, just say, put him under.
Put him under your feet.
Come on, let's do it.
Put him under.
The Bible says he's under. Come on.
Put him under your feet.